I remember the birth of my children, and I remember thinking just how magical that moment was, just how remarkable that moment was. But I was pretty clear whose they were and what was happening in that moment. I was pretty sure that that moment was sacred for me and my wife, but really, my daughter showed up and was born 11 minutes after we arrived at the hospital. I literally had a moment where I just tossed my keys to the valet and said, hey, park it anywhere. It felt really cool until, of course, the water broke in the elevator, and then my daughter came 11 minutes later. But I have this moment of thinking. That's a whole story there. You should come to church sometime on a regular weekend if you don't, and I'll tell that story sometime. But I keep thinking about how sacred that moment was for me and for Becky. Frankly, the nurses actually found it pretty special because the doctor couldn't make his way down the hall to give birth to my daughter, like to actually help in that moment because it was that fast. So I have this memory of it being so important to me and Becky and maybe even the nurses that happened in the room. And then there was probably another baby born there just a few hours later. And then there was another one born in that room a few hours after that and a few hours after that. And you realize there's something different about Christmas when we come and we celebrate one child 2,000 years later. One moment where we realize, as the song says, what child is this? Well, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear what child this is that we believe that he is God made flesh. That this God entered human flesh and dwelt among us. Frankly, I don't struggle to believe in the virgin birth or in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. I have come to see God in so many different ways where when I look at how unique our world is and what God has done, I don't struggle with that. What I struggle with is trying to figure out what does it mean for my life today? How do I actually live differently according to it? And the thing I struggle with most of all is just how quick everything seems to go. It was just 15 years ago that I was an associate pastor here for my first Christmas Eve service. I was asked to preach the 11 p.m. Christmas Eve service, which, I mean, we're here at the 2 o'clock, and I'm actually going to, Jimmy's preaching the 11 o'clock service, so I'm not here tonight at 11 p.m., but growing up, that was always my favorite service, and I got asked to preach my first Christmas here. I got asked to preach the 11 p.m. Christmas Eve service, and I was thinking about it this week because I had made a bunch of friends just the week before. School had gotten out early that year. And we had time to have our youth ski trip take place before Christmas Eve. And it was one of the favorite things I ever did because we went and we drove all the way to Crested Butte on a bus, and there's nothing more bonding for adults than sleeping overnight on a bus with a bunch of high school kids. And I still remain some of my best friends and leaders and people that I've gotten to know in this place I met on that bus 15 years ago. And for the first time, because I showed up single and with nothing to do and really no job description because we didn't have many young adults at the time, and I showed up and I got to actually hang out with kids, and they revealed to me that they had a name for me that I didn't know about. Oh yeah, no, I got nervous. But I was on a ski lift with some kids and they go, hey, now you should know, by the way, so I'm in contemporary now, but later for the 6 and 8 service, I'll have a full robe. And back then, when you're not ordained, you'd have the robe but no stole, which is kind of the white fabric that goes over it. And so they said, do you know that we call you Tom Riddle from Harry Potter? I go, you mean I'm Voldemort? Like, the evil guy in Harry Potter was what they called me. And I sat there and I looked at them and I was like, why? And they go, well, you do look like you're straight out of Hogwarts with the robe. Like, it's one of the reasons I did it for contemporary is I think some people walk in and they go, who does that guy think he is? And I'm like, not Tom Riddle, just for sure. And then I show up, my first Christmas Eve service, and just on the 3rd or 4th row, right about here, there was a whole group of the kids that I just went skiing with there to support me on my first Sunday. And they said, we love Tom Riddle, on a sign that they had the first time I stood up to preach in this place. And you know what really has bothered me this week? Is that some of those kids now have babies that I have baptized, and one of them held the door open for me in the 11 o'clock traditional service Sunday. And what bothers me is, how was that 15 years ago? It was before I ever met my wife, before I ever had my kids, before I ever had any of that. And here we are 15 years later, and I realize just how fast the world goes. It's the only advice, by the way, that I would give to Mary and Joseph. The only parenting advice, because babies sleep different, they act different. Like, almost all the advice you get when you are have a new child, almost all the advice you get's not worth it, because your kid may be different than whatever else it is. The one piece of advice that continues to ring true is how fast it goes. My mom looked at me once and said, "Man, I thought it'd take longer for me to get this old." Listen, this is the reality of our world, is that there is this ever-changing element to it. And today, I think we come here today because we are looking for some certainty in the midst of an ever-changing world. That next year, Christmas is going to look different. It might not be raining when you come next year. Next year is going to look different. Your kids, your family will be older. You may have a different job. You may have a different boss. You have no idea what thing is going to happen in the next 12 months. And one of the reasons why I believe that people come out of the woodworks on Christmas Eve to go to church, and I know that's true just for this church. We typically average a little over 2,000 here on a weekend in person, and I know that this weekend we'll have today and yesterday, we'll have 8,000 people show up in 2.5 days in this place. And I believe that part of the reason that people are looking for, that you may be looking for today, is wondering, how do I have something constant in a world that is constantly changing? How do we actually realize that there is something more solid than my job, than even the age of my kids, than the career that I have? There's something that we need that is more constant than anything else, and I think that's why we come here for Christmas. It's because in all of the uncertainty of the world, it's this moment that feels right, that is consistent and solid. And I want to emphasize that that's the case with Jesus. In the scriptures you heard read in Colossians and John, what they're emphasizing is the nature of God, the nature of Jesus. John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14, "And the Word became flesh." But here I want to highlight to you two different scriptures that come from right after Jesus was raised from the dead, that highlight who we believe Jesus is and why he is the constant. I'm going to put them on one screen just so you don't miss the consistency of the Christian witness. John 1, 18. "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." John wrote that. I want to jump to Paul and his letter to the Colossians. "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." The Christian claim, and I mean today, but also with the people who knew and hung out with Jesus, what they believed and what we still witness and testify to is that Jesus is the one who made the world, the one who created all that is and was and shall ever be. I have wondered so often how I get that constancy in my life. Because my kids are going to change. My marriage is going to evolve, stay the same, but evolve within the marriage. My job, I showed up here as an associate pastor with no job description. I've been senior pastor here for almost 4 years now. And what I do when I show up on Monday, it changes. The role that I have, it changes. Your life does too. The one thing that I want to emphasize here tonight for you is that the reason why we celebrate Christmas in this nativity is because that's the thing that is not going to change. that what we believe, what we know, what Jesus claimed and his proof was made good when he rose from the dead, what he claimed is that he is the one who actually was there at the beginning of the world. That when God spoke and said, "Let there be light," Jesus was there in that moment. That when God came to Moses and spoke out of the burning bush and said, "Hey, I've got a mission for you," Jesus was there in that moment. When he was preaching to the prophets, when he was telling them, "Hey, one day I shall make something right because I'm going to come in the person of a virgin. You shall have a king whose kingdom shall not end." How do you get that permanency? The only way you could get that is from Jesus. Your parents aren't as permanent as you imagine. You are not as permanent as you imagine. Your kids are not as permanent as you imagine. We humans, by the way, fail so often when we put something that is temporary in the top spot in our lives. When you wake up on Monday morning and you think, "Man, my job is the most important thing." When you even think that your marriage is the most important thing or your kids are the most important thing. Listen, your kids, it's not right for them to be worshiped. It's not right for your marriage to be worshiped. What's right is for you and your spouse and your kids to worship the one thing together that will not change. The one who made the world and who entered the world. I think we come to Christmas Eve because we want some element of permanent, something that we can count on. Something sure. I've seen floating around online a lot this year. There's a not really, but somewhat PC account from a Christian comedian who talks about, there are two kinds of people in the world. His name's Pete Holmes, but he's got two kinds of people in the world. You've got the God people and the not God people, and the God people say God made the world, and the not God people said nothing made the world. And his line, which I thought was a brilliant reframing of Thomas Aquinas from 800 years ago, his framing was, "You know what doesn't exist? Nothing." It's true. You know what doesn't exist? Nothing. You know what I do know exists? We do. Right here in this moment, we are about to pass a light and a candle from one person to another. We are about to celebrate a moment that many of us have experienced before and we will experience it again. It is that story, that constancy that's true. The only constant relationship in my life from birth till death will be my relationship with the one who made me, will be the God who died for me, will be the God who, when I enter heaven on the day of my death, he shall say, hopefully, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." If you're looking for constancies, meaning and purpose and direction, don't try to find it at work. Don't try to find it by elevating your marriage or your kids or your nuclear family to some elevated status that they can never live up to. The one thing that is constant in our world is God. There was a moment when we didn't exist. You know what? There was never a moment where God didn't exist. There had to be something that starts everything. You know what doesn't exist? Nothing. Which means that there is something permanent. There was a senior pastor before me. His name was Robert. There will be a senior pastor after me. This church is not the center of the universe. We are simply people who are telling the story of the permanent God who became like us. The infinite God who became an infant. The one who made the world who came to serve in it. You and I this Christmas have a challenge or an invitation, depends on how you want to think about it. But the invitation is to do something eternal with your life, to do something where your impact echoes far longer than your life here. The only thing that in the end will last is the one that always was and always will be. And so this Christmas, as you think about your past, think about how quick it's gone. Think about how last Christmas was different than this Christmas, and your childhood Christmases are different than today. I want you, when we pass the light, for you to think about living your life for something that is more permanent than anything else you have ever known. Too often, as your pastor, I meet with people on their deathbeds. I meet with people who've just gotten the job of their life. I meet with people for whom they just lost their job, for whom they retired, for whom they have a kid, and they come to me and they go, so how do I do this whole, like, leading kids to Jesus thing? And do you want to know what every single person has in common when they come to the very core of the question that we ask tonight? They're asking, is there something bigger? Is there something more permanent? Is there something more real? So as we come today and we celebrate the Christ candle and we get to pass it from person to person, I want you to pay attention to just how remarkable it is that the light of Christ doesn't stop. That the people who shared the same story with me and that I share with you, this light has been going for centuries, for 2,000 years, longer than any country, any king, any president. But the Christ candle's still lit, y'all. The primary secret, by the way, here is to let the unlit candle tilt. But I want you to pray about your own life and how what is temporary in your life can be used for the permanent goodness of God, for everything to be made right. As we sing Silent Night, would you stand? We're going to sit for a minute as the band plays and pray about what God is doing in this place, what God is doing in your life, and how you can live it for His kingdom. Amen.